The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah. The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah. The path of knowledge, the path of knowledge. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله مرحبا خوش آمدید welcome to one and all to another exciting and beautiful episode and silsila of our lovely series An Array of Dawn. Today's topic is a topic which is very important, a topic which needs to be discussed. And what is this topic? Today we are going to be discussing a type of cancer, and this cancer is such a disease which is found in every area, in every society, in every community, in every household, and I might not be exaggerating if I will say it is found in every person. And this is a disease, a hidden disease, you know, a hidden disease which eats our good deeds and puts a lots of sins in our account. And the name of this cancer is backbiting. In Urdu, in Arabic, we say ghibat. And ghibat means backbiting, means talking about someone behind his back, mentioning his faults, mentioning the, you know, something bad about him, saying something bad about him. All of these kind of things behind his back is called backbiting. Allah, Allah, Allah. So today, inshallah, we will be learning about this, you know, how to save ourselves from it, what the Quran says about it, what can we learn from the lives of the pious predecessors, what are some examples of backbiting, and inshallah, how to save ourselves from this grave and big sin, which is called backbiting, inshallah. So today we have this very important topic, and as I mentioned, it has relation with almost every person. So inshallah, we will be discussing this. So stay with us today, inshallah, in this beautiful episode, and we will get to learn a lot. We will make some good intentions, and hopefully, inshallah, we will try and our level best to stop ourselves from this evil sin. Before we come to our topic, let us take a short break and listen to a beautiful kalam in the praise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the city of Madinah al-Munawwara. And inshallah, as soon as we return, we will carry on discussing our exciting topic. Sallu al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Madina sadi jaane, Madina sadi jaane, Madina sadi jaane, haake Madina, haake Madina, haake Madina, hoti main haak saar hota, hoti rahe Madina mera ghubar hota, hoti rahe Madina mera ghubar hota. Aqa agar karam se taiba mujhe bulate, aqa agar karam se taiba mujhe bulate, roze par sadqe hota, un par nisaar hota, roze par sadqe hota, roze par sadqe hota, un par nisaar hota.
Haake Madina, haake Madina,
کے آقا بے کس کو گئے بلاتے کس کو گئے بلاتے کیوں سب کی ٹھوکروں پر پڑھ کر خوار ہوتا کیوں سب کی ٹھوکروں پر کیوں سب کی ٹھوکروں پر پڑھ کر خوار ہوتا زمین ہوتی ان کے قریب بستا دل کو قرار ہوتا ان کے قریب بستا ان کے قریب بستا دل کو قرار ہوتا مل مٹ کے خوب لگتی مٹی میری ٹھکانے گھروں کی راہ گزر پر گھروں کی راہ گزر پر میرا مزار ہوتا یہ آرزو ہے دل کی ہوتا وہ سبز گنبد یہ آرزو ہے دل کی ہوتا وہ سبز گنبد اور میں غبار بن کر اس پر نثار ہوتا اور میں غبار بن کر اور میں غبار بن کر اس پر نثار ہوتا تک سمجھا بجھا کے رکھا بے چین دل کو اب تک سمجھا بجھا کے رکھا بے چین دل کو اب تک سمجھا بجھا کے رکھا مگر اب تو اسے آکا نہیں انتظار ہوتا مگر اب تو اسے آقا مگر اب تو اسے آقا نہیں انتظار ہوتا کو لیکن نہیں اعتبار ہوتا
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. سبحان الله سبحان الله. What a beautiful كلام written by حكيم الأمة مفسر الشهير مفتي أحمد يارخان نعيمي رحمة الله تعالى عليه. سبحان الله سبحان الله. And you know, in this كلام he expresses his desire of visiting the holy and blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara, the city of my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, Allah, Allah. And indeed it is the desire of every Ashik and Mustafa, every lover of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he should visit the holy and blessed court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, a person desires that. There is no city in this world where a person feels that let me go there and I want to die there and I desire to die in that city. No, everyone goes, they spend few weeks, days, months maybe, and then they come home. Everyone likes the home. But Medina is such a city where a person desires that, if I'm going, I don't want to come back. And may I go and when I enter the city of Medina, may my soul leave my body. Because indeed, what greater greatness is there than leaving and leaving this world in the holy cities of Madinatul Munawwara and Makkatul Mukarrama? Indeed, it's something which is very fortunate for every person. Every person desires and wishes to leave this world in those cities, subhanAllah. And the Ushaq, subhanAllah, they have love with the city of Medina because it has nisbat and association and relation to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Sayyidi Amir al-Sunnat very beautifully says, Medina isliye attar jano dil se hai pyara ke rehte hain mere aqa mere dil bar Medina mein, subhanAllah. The reason why Medina is so beloved to us, and jano dil, it is more beloved than our life and our heart. SubhanAllah, and the reason ke rehte hain mere aqa mere dil bar Madine mein, because my beloved and my master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is residing in Madinatul Munawwara. That's the only reason why Medina is so beloved to us, subhanAllah. We said that today we will be discussing this disease and this a very fatal disease which is present with each and every person, and that is backbiting. It's a hidden disease, because this disease, a normal disease will maybe, cause our health to deteriorate and, harm our lives. But this disease actually harms our actions, our good deeds, and it puts lots of sins in our book of deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this disease. That is why I call this a disease. And indeed, the sins which we commit, they are hidden diseases, and one of them is this backbiting. Now let's see what the Holy Quran has to say about backbiting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah 12 of Surah Hujurat, Allah ta'ala mentioned, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأَكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Allah, Allah, Allah. Allah ta'ala says, translation from Kanzul Iman, and do not backbite one another. Would any of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would not tolerate it. Allah, Allah, Allah. Sadrullah Fadil Hazrat Alam Murana Sayyid Muhammad Na'imuddin Muradabadi alayhi rahmatullahi al-Qawi has stated regarding this mention, this ayat, one should not even tolerate backbiting against his Muslim brother, because calling him bad behind his back is like eating his flesh after his death. Because the way a person feels pain if his flesh is cut, similarly, backbiting causes pain to his heart. And in fact, the honor is more important than the flesh. Allah. If a person cuts himself, or if a person hurts himself, yes, he will heal. Maybe a scar will remain, or sometimes even the scar is removed. But if somebody's honor is destroyed, if somebody's reputation, somebody's respect is destroyed, and trust me, it takes sometimes the entire life to earn that respect back and to get that honor back. So honor is more important than your flesh. And it is mentioned that, would you like to eat the flesh of your dead brother? Because this backbiting is causing hurt to him. And as the skin, when it is cut, when the flesh is cut, it causes hurt. It hurts the person. Likewise, this backbiting also hurts the person in that way. It is mentioned the Shayan Nuzul and the reason of the revelation of this ayah, that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would set out on jihad, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a very beautiful scenario or situation, or he had a very beautiful tactic which he would use. And what was that was that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would group one poor person with two rich individuals. So in that case, the poor person would serve the rich companion, and the rich people would feed him. So in this way, everyone would be satiated and satisfied, and everyone would benefit from each other. So Sayyidina Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhum, he was grouped with two individuals. One day, he fell asleep and he could not prepare a meal for his individuals. So his companions sent him to the court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to get some food. Sayyidina Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the servant of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when Sayyidina Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to Sayyidina Usama and asked for some food, he didn't have any food with him. So he said that, "I don't have anything." So Sayyidina Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came back and he told his companions that, "I went to Sayyidina Usama, but he doesn't have anything, so he couldn't give me anything." So when his companions heard this, then they said, "Usama has become stingy." These were the words they uttered. Later on, when these two people who uttered these words, when they came in the court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "I can see the color of flesh in your mouth." So his companions said, "Ya Rasulullah, we have not eaten any meat." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told them, "You have committed backbiting. And the one who backbites against a Muslim eats the flesh of a Muslim." Allah, 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 Allah. The words they said was, "Usama has become stingy." One sentence. And that was the backbiting which they have done. This is an incident where each and every person has to now ponder upon himself. These companions just uttered one sentence. "He has become stingy." And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you have committed backbiting, and the one who backbites against a Muslim eats the flesh of a Muslim. We should ponder and think how many times a day and regarding how many people do we backbite. And that too, not only one sentence, not only two sentences. We even say entire stories, in the disgrace and the insulting so-and-so person. "He is like this, he is like this, he is like this. I saw him doing that, I saw him wearing that, I saw him saying that. The other day I saw him that." And we actually derive new methods. Yes, some of us know that backbiting is not allowed. So what we do is, in order to, satisfy our hearts, we say those sentences which we feel is not backbiting, but it is backbiting. For example, somebody will say, he'll utter a whole lot of nonsense regarding somebody, and in the end he'll say, "But let's not backbite. I don't want to put any sins in my account by backbiting. I don't want to backbite about this person." Yeah, Hazrat, you have just mentioned a whole story about him, and now when everything is finished, you are saying, "I don't want to backbite about him." Similarly, some people have a habit of saying, "That person, what must I tell you about him? He has so many qualities, so many bad qualities. If I have to start discussing them, our time will be wasted. What must I say about him?" And then he'll start saying one thing, two things, three things, and then he'll say, "But leave it, man. What must I say about that person? I don't want to backbite." And again he'll say two things, three things, and I say, "There are so many bad qualities in him. What should I say?" While saying that, he will say two, three, four, five, and many bad things continuously. And the person in front of him will be listening very attentively. "Yes, yes, tell me more, tell me more." So that's our problem. That first of all, we like to backbite against another person. And the issue with the other person is that he also likes to listen to our stories. "Oh, you have something about so-and-so person. You have something interesting about him. You have something, you saw him doing something. Tell me, let me also know. I also want to see what happened. I also want to know what happened. I also want to hear about that person. He is your Muslim brother." Whatever it is, whether he has good qualities, bad qualities, he's a filthy person, he's a dirty person, whatever it is, he is your Muslim brother. Why do you still want to hear something bad about him? Why do you still want to tolerate something against his personality and something against him? So if the person who is listening, if he stops himself from listening, automatically the person who is speaking will keep quiet, because he realized that this person is not paying attention to what I'm saying. He's changing the topic all the time. Automatically he'll keep quiet, or he'll change the topic and he'll speak something else. But if you're also going to show interest in what he is saying, then when he is backbiting, he will enjoy himself. Whilst you listening, you are also enjoying yourself. Both of you will be enjoying, and you will be earning the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. So we should ponder and think how many sentences we utter against people in our daily routine and daily lives. That is why I said this is such a big disease, which is found, and I won't be exaggerating, with almost each and every person in our society, in our community. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam once asked, "Do you know what backbiting is?" So it was humbly replied, Sahaba Ikram said, "Allah and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam know better." And this was the way the Sahaba Ikram used to reply to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whenever he sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to ask a question, they would say, you know, "Allah and his Rasul know better." Subhanallah, subhanallah. This was the aqidah of the Sahaba Ikram, that the amount of knowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam is far beyond our imagination and our understanding. Subhanallah. That is why everything they used to say, Allah and his Rasul know best. And sometimes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to ask them something which maybe they would know the answer, but still they would say out of respect, Allah and his Rasul know. Means Sahaba Ikram used to teach you the adab of firstly the court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and secondly also the adab of any respected person, a person who has knowledge, that when they ask you something, even if you know, but your knowledge is less than theirs, then you should say that you know better, Hazrat, you are the one who has more knowledge. And Sahaba Ikram used to have adab for the court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that for anything they would say, Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows best. Subhanallah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "Do you know what backbiting is?" Sahaba Ikram replied, "Allah and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know better." Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Backbiting is that you talk about your brother in a way which he dislikes." It was humbly asked, "Ya Rasulullah?" So Sahaba Ikram, very intellectual people, they would ask questions to find out more about a certain matter. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that backbiting is that you talk about your brother in a way which he dislikes, Sahaba Ikram asked, "Ya Rasulullah, what if he has the fault?" We speak about him, but what if that fault is present in him then? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "Subhanallah, subhanallah, if he has the fault that you are talking about, you have committed backbiting against him. And if he does not have the fault, then you have slandered him." Allah. So it means in both cases, you have done something wrong. If he is fat, and you told somebody, "Look at that fat person," then you have backbitten about him because he has that quality. But if he is not fat, and you told somebody, "No, he is a fat person," then you have slandered him. So in both ways, whether that quality is there or it is not there, you are still doing something wrong. People say, "Mulana sahab, you know, if the person has that quality and I am telling you about that quality which is found in him, how can that be backbiting?" That is backbiting. Because you are exposing his qualities, you are speaking bad about the quality which is found in that person. And if he doesn't have that quality, now you are lying, now you are slandering him, you are saying something bad about him, you are putting a defect in him, something bad you are associating and relating with him, which he does not even possess. So both ways you are trapped. That's why the best solution will be zip your mouth and keep quiet. Whether there is something bad about someone which you know about or you don't know about, in both ways keep quiet and don't speak about it. Subhanallah, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to act upon these things. You know, we listen to the different things related to these hidden diseases and matters related to them, but we don't understand it, and we don't pay heed, and we don't listen to these things which we are learning. Allah, Allah, Allah. Once Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi went to attend a feast, and people were talking to each other, And they said that, you know, so and so person has not yet arrived. So while the people were discussing, one person said, that fatty, that fat person is very lazy. When Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullahi ta'ala, heard this, he reapproached himself and he said that, alas, I am facing this trouble because of my stomach. I have come to a gathering in which backbiting is being committed against a Muslim. After saying this, he left and he did not eat anything for 3 days due to this grief that, you know, I wanted to fulfill my desires to eat something, and I went to a feast, and when I went to the feast, somebody was backbiting against his Muslim brother. If I wouldn't have gone there to fill my stomach, then I wouldn't have listened to that backbiting. So in the sadness, in order to punish his nafs, what he did was he did not eat anything for 3 days. And in some narrations it is mentioned, for 7 days he did not eat anything. Allah. You know who is Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham? He is that personality who left, who was a king, and he left his entire kingdom just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, subhanallah. A person who left everything, his entire kingdom, and his entire life changes. And when his life changes, look how his life changed. That he doesn't even like going to that gathering where the backbiting is done about a certain Muslim brother. In our gatherings, most of our time is covered in backbiting. Sayyidina Hazm, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has mentioned that Maymoon, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, did not commit backbiting against anyone, nor did he let anyone commit backbiting before him. But rather, if someone tried to do it, he would prevent him. If the person stopped doing it, it was alright. Otherwise, he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, would leave the place. Subhanallah. He would leave the place. If this person is not listening, let me leave from there. I don't want to, harm myself by listening to this backbiting. Because remember, speaking about a Muslim brother, backbiting is a sin, and listening to it is also a sin. People say, Munasab, I was not backbiting, he was backbiting, I was just sitting and listening. Yes, you are also committing a sin, because you are listening to the false and the backbiting about your Muslim brother. So the sin which is coming on his shoulder of the one who is speaking is also coming on your shoulder, because you are equal in crime. You are listening and you are not stopping him. Remember, if you know and you feel that if you say something and the person will understand what you are saying, he knows what you are saying, he will stop himself, then it is wajib and necessary upon you to stop him from that evil action and say, no, keep quiet, I don't want to backbite against my Muslim brother, I don't want to listen anything bad against my Muslim brother. It becomes necessary on you if you know that he is going to listen to you. So don't try and picture yourself as the oppressed one. You know, I cannot say anything, he is speaking, I'm just listening, as if you are very innocent. No, you are enjoying listening to him, that is why you are listening. Otherwise you would have stopped him there immediately. If somebody comes and speaks bad to you about your father, would you listen to him and say, no, Mulana Sahab, you know, he was speaking, I couldn't say anything, I was just listening? No, immediately you will start shouting, you will start screaming at him, maybe you will even fight with him. Why? Because it's your father. Yes, if somebody speaks about your brother, your siblings, your mother, your relatives, then you start getting angry. Maybe about your teacher, about your friend. Then we start shouting, we start screaming. That is your Muslim brother. Islam has made you brothers. Yes, he is your Muslim brother. He might not be your blood relative, but in Islam, all the Muslims are brothers. They are our relatives. So if somebody speaks about your friend, your relative, you get angry. Then if somebody is speaking about a certain Muslim, why at that time you are not getting angry? Why at that time you are not stopping him and, you know, preventing him from saying these words against a Muslim brother? So it all bounces back to the same conclusion. The moment we start changing ourselves, automatically everything else will start changing. If we don't want to listen to backbiting, the next person will not backbite against someone else. So we should stop backbiting and we should stop listening to backbiting as well. Both qualities we need to adopt and we need to instill in our lives. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability and the tawfiq to act upon all of these beautiful words. We should protect ourselves from those diseases which are the hidden diseases, like jealousy, hatred, takabbur, pride, riya, And one of them is this backbiting as well. Ameen, 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 bi jahi Nabi al-Ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, before I mention this hadith, must remember that when you are backbiting against someone, you are, if that fault is in him, you are exposing his fault. Maybe the next person didn't even know that certain fault was in that person, and you exposed his fault and you told it to that person in front of you. And you know what a grave sin it is to expose the sins of another Muslim brother. Allah Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, good news is for the one whose faults prevent him from finding faults with others. He further said, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further said, the person who conceals the fault of his brother after seeing it will be made to enter paradise. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah has mentioned, whenever you intend to talk about the faults of someone, remember your own faults. Allah, Allah, Allah. And Sayyidina Zayd rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated, how strange is the person who knows that he has such and such fault, even then considers himself to be a good human, whereas he considers his Muslim brother to be a bad person only on suspicion or rumors. SubhanAllah, how many things we come to learn from here. First of all, somebody came and said something to you, something bad to you, against so and so person. You don't have any confirmation about it. You don't have any understanding about it. You don't even know if it is true or if it is false. And based on that, immediately you start bringing a thousand thoughts to your heart and mind that I am better than him. I don't have that quality. He is such a bad person. He is this, he is that. And for nothing, you will start having hatred, or you will start, you know, moving away from that person just on the basis of rumor. Sayyidina Zayd said, how strange is the person who knows that he has such and such fault, and even despite knowing that, he considers himself good, but he considers his brother as someone bad just because he heard a rumor about that person. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And then from the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, you know, we need to cover the faults of another Muslim brother. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in summary of a hadith that the one who conceals the faults of his Muslim brother in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal his faults on the day of judgment. SubhanAllah. And every person knows. One day ask your heart, you know how many sins you have committed, what wrong things you are doing, you have done, you are thinking to do. Everything you are doing, you know. So you know what a filthy and dirty person you are, what a bad person you are, how many sins you have committed. Even then, you cover your sins and portray yourself as a good human being. And you know, you want to listen about the bad qualities and the bad things about your Muslim brother, and you want to expose his bad qualities. What if your bad qualities, your faults are exposed on the day of judgment in front of everyone, where everyone will be watching and everyone will be listening? At that moment, what are you going to say? At that moment, what are you going to do? My Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, the one who conceals the faults of his brother in this world, Allah Ta'ala will conceal your faults on the day of judgment. Don't you want your faults to be concealed? Nobody wants himself to be exposed. Nobody wants himself to be disgraced in front of everyone. If I have to call you in a room with your friends, and let's say I'm on a TV, and on the TV I show a few of the sins which you have committed in front of your friends, 2, 3, 4, 5 friends, immediately you will start lowering your head out of shame, and you'll start feeling disgraced. Why? Because I exposed your sins and your faults in front of 4 or 5 people on a day of judgment. It will not be only 4 or 5 people, not only your relatives, not only your friends, not only your parents. Everyone will be present there from the beginning of creation until the day of Qiyamah. And when everyone is going to see and witness and listen to your sins and your faults on that day, then how will you feel? How embarrassed will you feel? Will you be able to lift up your head? Will you be able to say anything? So in this world, if you cannot conceal the faults of your Muslim brother, how many faults does he have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20, 100? You must still consider that it is less than your faults, because you know how dirty you are. So if you can't conceal his faults in this world, how are you going to expect that your faults should be concealed on the day of judgment? Yes, if you want your faults to be concealed, then from now, conceal the faults of your brother and conceal everyone else's fault. If you have seen something wrong in somebody and you feel that you speak to him, he will understand, he will listen to him, then go and speak to him. If you have seen something wrong and you know he is going to listen to you, then it becomes necessary upon you to go and make him understand. Otherwise, in any situation, go by him, speak to him and say, you know, I found this quality in you. It's not a good quality. It's something bad. It's something which is disturbing me. It's something which can disturb others. So change this quality. Yes, it's between you and him. The matter will be sorted out. Instead of going and speaking to 10 other people and exposing his faults, what are those 10 people going to do? They're not that person. You haven't discussed the problem with the main person himself. If there is a fire burning in front of you, and you know, there is a bottle of water there, which you can use to extinguish the fire. Instead of doing that, you go and you start screaming and telling 10 people about the fire. Is it going to help the fire in any case? No. The fire is going to start increasing. The fire is going to grow. Nothing is going to stop the fire. You can even go tell 1,000 people, the fire will still remain there unless and until you go and put the water on and extinguish the fire. So if that person has a bad quality, go and speak to him about it. Maybe when you speak to him, he will change his quality and he will reform himself. What's the need of telling 10 other people when you know that they are not going to do anything? They can't do anything. The problem is with that person. You're not solving the problem with him, but you want to expose it and tell to the entire world. What's the benefit in that? One habit we should keep in ourselves. First of all, we shouldn't backbite. We should conceal the faults of a Muslim brother. And thirdly, that if we see anything wrong in someone, any bad quality, anything which we don't like, we'll go and discuss it with that person personally. If not personally, then, you know, we'll find a way to discuss it with that person. Because the moment we do that, automatically, hatred will also not increase. You go and tell 10 people, he will think, you know, he could have come and told me directly. He went and told 10 other people. Now 10 people know of my faults. Automatically, he will start feeling something against you. You go and speak to him, clear it out, everything will be finished at that moment. Nobody knew about it. His quality is also fixed. And he knew that only you came and told him, he is happy, you are happy, everyone is happy. So this quality I want everyone to adopt. Those who are listening to me, those who are viewing this and they can pass the message on to others, then take this quality with you all today. And the quality is that inshallah, make the intention that if we find a fault in anyone, we are going to speak to him personally and we will try to solve the matter there instead of, you know, throwing a tantrum and going to everyone else and exposing his faults and backbiting against him. Inshallah, all those who make an intention, say inshallah that we will act upon this and we will try and reform ourselves in this way. Inshallah, inshallah. The message I want everyone to take with you all today is inshallah, we will not backbite. We will not listen to backbiting. We will not expose the faults of another Muslim brother. If we see something in someone, we will go and speak to him about it and we will try and resolve the matter, inshallah. We hope to see you soon. Till then, be positive, think positive, stay positive, and remain positive. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah. The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah. The path of knowledge, the path of